Welcome, my bro, to episode 41 of Coastal Grand Bros, the podcast where the waves meet the raves, and the only thing smoother than my voice is the sand between your toes at your father's second wedding. This is a world where Yacht Rock and Tommy Bahama shirts are a lifestyle, and the only thing we take seriously is our commitment to not taking anything too seriously. Join us as we deep dive off our boats and into the heart of some movies that are about life, love, laughter, travel, and the kind of coastal elegance that makes you wish you were sipping on a drink at your very own beach house. Do me a favor. Close your eyes. Listen to the waves crashing in the distance. Smell the salt in the air. And imagine the sophistication of your coastal grandmother's decor, paired with the laid-back charm of a beach party thrown by your coolest uncle. Now open your eyes, grab your favorite tropical drink, slip into something more comfortable, and let's toast to the coastal life, because we just don't aspire to retire. We're already there, baby. Today, I welcome my main bro here on Coastal Grand Bros, Joe Two.
Oh, hello, sir.
And I'm going to ask this question again. I know you've answered a million times, but I got to know where it is in your heart today. Joe, where's your beach?
My beach is right now in my limited edition Sperry by Malbon Golf collab shoes that I just got. I'm so stoked on them. Just threw them on. That's where my beach is today.
Nice, nice.
How about you, Brian? Where's your beach at today?
I don't know. You know, I'm...
Your background actually looks just like walking to the beach at Rachel's parents'. House.
Let's backtrack quickly. That's your real beach, right?
It would be Lake Bethany Beach, Delaware. Yes, that's where my beach would be.
Right, like if I message you like, hey, Joe, let's hang out. And you're like, I can't, I'm at the beach. That's where you are, right?
100%, yes.
You know, as I've told everyone listening, by now you know how I often summer on the North Fork of Long Island. But you know, I have my Dominican Republic hat on today.
Ooh.
And I can't forget that my people originally are beach people. So
literally.
Yes. So maybe I'm at some Dominican beach today. Maybe Punta Cana, Puerto Plata, who knows? But that's where I feel like I'm going to be. Oh, Joe, one thing before we start, too.
Yes, sir.
So I check, you know, I rarely check the inbox. I don't really want to do too much work on this show, Coastal Grand Bros. It's about relaxing.
Not about work, bro.
No, bro. But I did check the inbox. And there was actually an interesting email. So mind if I read it?
No, read it, please.
Hey, bro. Love the show. Your episode on Under the Tuscan Sun was amazing.
Oh, great episode,
right? Joe was so funny. What can I say? I'm a sucker for some good bro travel. Who isn't?
Exactly.
Two questions for you guys. First, who would you rather invite to your beach house for a romantic weekend? Julia Roberts or Diane Lane?
Oh, second, okay.
And this is for Joe. You mentioned this on the last episode, but do you really only wear black to the beach? Never a hint of color? This is from Dennis from Narragansett. So two questions there, Joe. Which one do you want to tackle first?
I think I'm just going to go in order. First, if I had my choice, I'm going to go with our favorite coastal grandma, Diane Lane. Obviously, super babe. She's super sultry. She has a deep, deep sultriness in her eyes, in her soul. That's who I'd want to be with.
And look, I get it. On Coastal Grand Bros, I feel like a quarter of our movies star a Diane of one sort. And we know you've been a patron of Diane Lane.
Forever.
We're talking Unfaithful
forever.
Today.
Forever.
Your suggestion.
She's like my favorite. I mean, let's be real here. This is pretty much the Diane Lane podcast, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, she has... There's just so many Diane Lane movies that fit in this oeuvre. But I guess before we get into the second question, because I am curious about your choice of black.
Okay.
When was the first time Diane Lane perked up on your radar, if you will? When was the first awakening you had with Miss Diane Lane?
I don't know. I need to look it up. I know my mom's a big Diane Lane fan. And she actually loves a lot of the movies that we talk about here on Coastal Grand Bros. So Oh man, I don't know what she's most credited on IMDb for Unfaithful. That's kind of
Makes
incredible.
sense. She was nominated for an Oscar for this. I was like,
I
what?
had no idea.
I didn't realize this was an Oscar level movie. Look, it's a good
Insane.
movie, don't get me wrong, but like Oscars? I'm like, wow. I mean, awesome, first of all.
Yeah, Diane Lane kind of like became 50 and then never went over 50, right? She just has like been 50 for like 35 years.
And a great 50, you know, so.
And a gr and an excellent fit. She was in Jack too. Probably
Oh,
there is probably when I first saw her.
yeah.
Oh, The Glass House. I love The Glass House. We need to do an
I
episode on that. That actually came out right before this. Okay, cool.
gotta put that
Okay.
on my list.
Yeah, put it on the list.
Putting it on the list now.
I felt like we had covered all the Diane Lane movies 41 episodes into it, but apparently we have not.
No, we have not. And again, you are our official Diane Lane guide, and I can't wait to talk more of them. Of course, we've done some of them, but
Most of them, but yeah, sometimes you miss one or two.
well, Diane Lane is your winner there. No surprise. I don't know
No.
what Dennis is thinking asking that question. Look, there are a lot of Julia Roberts fans out there, and yes, there are a lot of
Wait,
Coastal.
the guy that wrote it, Ryan. Ryan?
Who? Oh, the email, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Dennis from Narragansett.
I thought it was Ryan Rodriguez.
No. Come
Okay.
on. Come
Okay.
on. He hasn't written in a while. Second question, Joe, the black question, right? You mentioned previously that, you know, you're the Johnny Cash of the
Do you want
beach.
to open this can of worms? Do you want to hear these answers?
I mean, Dennis does.
Dennis does. Dennis does. Okay.
Ryan probably does, so I want to hear about it too.
Okay. I actually mostly despise being on a beach. I am way too hyper for like that's why I came to do this podcast. You know, you bring me the beach vibes. Usually that's not my speed. I can't do anything for too long. I can't sit still. But I don't know if it's legal or not, but in Bethany Beach, we just drink on the beach, which you, as you know, one of my favorite activities of all time. So we usually just pack a cooler and sit on the beach. And in this case, I do enjoy it. But no, I hate flip-flops. I pretty much only wear black always anyway. So going to the beach, I wear nothing but black t-shirts. I often wear black socks onto the beach, tennis
Oof.
shoes, or I do like a good slipper, so I'll throw on some slip-ons, but they're closed-toed. There's no, I mean, I'll take them off when I get there, but then I will severely clean my feet off of sand before I put them back into those shoes. But yeah, all black. I have a black bucket hat. I have everything you can imagine in black. There might be, you know, hints of color accent on the decals or something, but other than that, no, all black all the time.
You and I are more similar than you think, though. On outward appearance, maybe people wouldn't say that as we are wearing, you know, very different shirts. But I also, believe it or not, do not just like a beach day, right? Like, I get very antsy as well. I don't want to sit on the beach and do nothing.
No, and Rachel and her mom can sit there for hours and just like sit in silence and just like listen to what get the fuck out of here. No, I need to be stimulated somehow.
Well, why do you think, you know, this podcast was started, right? Like most people are at the beach. I'm podcasting. So it you know, totally makes a
We're
sense.
giving people like us something to listen to while they're at the beach, bored.
Exactly. If you're people like us, you don't want to just hear the crashing waves. You want to hear people talk about the crashing waves and Diane Lane. So that makes total sense to me. Let's like, you know, lift the curtain a little bit. I love a beach house experience.
Beach house experience, top tier. Top tier.
Right?
Excellent.
So I talk about my friend's beach house a lot on this show. My friends Eric and Lauren, they have a beach house again on the North Fork of Long Island. I like getting in the hot tub, but you know, big kitchen though. I like making drinks.
Open big deck on Rachel's family's all the doors
There you
open,
go.
screened in deck, no bugs,
Oh,
beautiful.
that's
It's
nice.
top tier, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, and I'll, you know, I'll make some drinks, drink those drinks, hang out, talk with people. And yes, like the beach is there and a lot of people want to go to it. And I'll go with them, but that's like not my favorite activity. I like the lifestyle more than the actual beach itself. And that same thing for me is actually true for like winter homes, right? Like people will go get these ski lodges, and I like the winter, but I don't ski, I don't snowboard.
Amen. Same here, bro.
It's the lodge lifestyle is cool though, right? And
Yeah.
and again, that's a lot of what this podcast is about.
Coastal Lodge Bros?
We'll see if we have the winter run, but for
Oh,
now,
okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
but for now, you know, we're sticking with the Coastal Grand Bros aesthetic here. Oh man, are you ready to dive into this one? Unfaithful. You suggested this one, Joe. What's your history with it?
I've seen this movie in theaters with my mom at a way too young of an age.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious, bro? Sorry.
Yes, I am 100% serious, bro. I don't know why. Like, this is not a movie I would have picked. Apparently, she didn't see any trailers for this.
But it's called Unfaithful. It
yeah,
can't
you,
be.
You would think. You know? I mean, like, I had it. When did this movie come out? 2002?
Yeah.
Okay, so do the math. I was like, what, like 12 or I was like 12. So I saw this movie in theater and I was like, wow, this movie makes me feel uncomfortable as a 12-year-old. And upon processing it later, I laughed very hard about it. And then I've watched it many times since, honestly. And it's not a bad movie, but I have some awkward feelings about it that I will explain when we talk about the movie. What is your history with this movie? When have you seen it? When did you see it?
So, like a lot of the films on Coastal Grand Bros, which is why I wanted to take this journey, really, like, I don't have a lot of history with this. I've seen, like, parts of this movie. I've known about it. I definitely watched the trailer. This was my first
watch
beginning to end. Like, I am watching this
really?
Movie.
So what did you think? How do you feel?
Oh, I have feelings. But, you know, one thing just quickly I want to add and just, like, let people know, right? Like, I'm the oldest of three boys. Right? Like, if I caught movies like this, it's because my mom, like, had rented it and was watching it. But, like, you know, we watched boy movies, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, going on this journey is just fascinating and interesting, and I don't know if I can necessarily relate.
Did you hang out with a lot of aunts? Did you have a lot of aunts? Did you hang out with your grandma? Is this something that they would have watched?
Maybe not my grandmother, because she, you know, she really only spoke Spanish, unless it was like a Spanish cut of this. But definitely my aunts have watched this film, for sure. I mean, I can guarantee that, right? Like, I will say a lot of the movies on our list here for Coastal Grand Bros, I've heard about and know about more from hearing my mom and my aunts talk about it and not necessarily seeing it.
Like, being in the kitchen, they're at the kitchen table, and they're like, oh my god, this Diane Lane movie. And you're just like a kid, like, off in the distance, like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, a movie like Stella Got Her Groove Back or something, right? Like, you know, they're just films that came out when we, you know, we were younger that I definitely wasn't seeing, but they were seeing. And again, maybe Unfaithful was one of them. I'm not sure. But I was excited to see this one, because another person who we talk about a lot on this podcast, who's in a lot of these films, is Richard Gere, of course, right?
Yes, this is like the perfect culmination of everything the Coastal Grand Bros want right here.
So, bro, to have Richard Gere, Diane Lane in a film together, you hit the nail on the head, right? Like,
it's perfect.
I was excited for this one.
I can't believe it took us 41 episodes to get here is all I'm trying to say.
The other thing I was going to mention with you, right, like on High School Slumber Party, and just in general, right? Like, you watch a lot of Lifetime films. We've talked a lot of Lifetime. This is, like, to me, like, high-quality Lifetime.
This is maximum film Lifetime movie. Down to the point where, what does the movie culminate in, Brian?
The head bonk.
That?
Right?
It's a head bonk. We don't get
so
an actual
excited.
Murder. We just get a bonk. And they have an interesting choice of weapon in this movie, too, which I thought, nice flourish. Excellent touch. You know, usually it's skillet. Candlestick, something, you know, very Clue, but come on, man, snow globe? Who would have seen that coming?
Oh man, I did not see it coming. This movie does this like crazy sort of flip, but you know, we'll definitely get into it.
Brian, what is the most Coastal Grand Bros thing about Diane Lane's house?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot. Like, again, she's not. Yes, it's coastal because they live in New York, but it's not necessarily like...
Where are they at, by the way? Where's the setting of this movie? This is an actual question.
Westchester County, and I have a lot of stories about this part, basically related to my day-to-day. But,
okay.
Yeah, I know a lot of these towns. You know, they cross the Tappan Zee Bridge at times. So
yes,
go
they do.
Like,
they do.
They go to like Nyack at points. They, you know, Harris in New York. Like, there's a lot of these towns. So it was a very familiar movie to me when it came to that, right? So what was the most Coastal Graham Bro thing about her house that you saw?
She has a wall-mounted coffee mill that's essentially like a giant ball jar that's above her sink that you hand crank. And I was like, this is it. This is excellent.
Golden. We need to do a lot better job of like circling the coastal touches in these films. And you're right. That is awesome. And you know, there's like tchotchkes around whatever. Here or there. Hey, yeah. Like you said, the murder is committed by a tchotchke, right? It's a snow globe. So like that is so Coastal Grandma to have that. So like chef's kiss there. Did you watch this movie today?
Yes, I did watch this movie today.
Your watch today, did you have any... I mean, you've seen it so many times, so I can't imagine you had too many different feelings.
I honestly have seen this movie probably, like, in the double digits, for sure.
So for me, busy weekend, you know how it is. So I was watching it today, I downloaded it on my phone, and you might not know this, but I work right by Grand Central Station. So I take the Metro North Rail to Grand Central Station. So,
are you on track number 19 like she was? Because I'm usually 21.
So what was I? No, I'm usually like 39 around
no,
there.
No, like my train is always like 20 to 22. Like I'm always on that track for some reason.
I know the track well, right?
Yeah, so, she was 19. I was like, oh, so close. I really thought that she was in Connecticut for a while, but I understand, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, again, you know from living in Connecticut, that Metro North and that... you know, sort of like grand, literally like grand entrance into Grand Central Station and what that's like. That's filmed really nicely here. But so I'm watching this on the train and she actually is taking the line I take, which is the Hudson line because you see the Hudson River.
Yeah.
I watched like the beginning on the way to work and then the end leaving work. But Nicole, my wife and the baby were at my mother's in Long Island. So I took the Long Island Railroad out to them and then drove the car here. I mention that because I'm watching this very sexy movie on a crowded Long Island Railroad train, like with these sex scenes. And when I say crowded, like I was shoulder to shoulder.
Amazing.
People were obviously watching me see it. And so like my mom's line passes in front of UBS Arena. So the train is like full of like giddy Islander fans, like all in the jerseys, watching me essentially... To them, probably looks like porn on the train,
and just like porn. Yeah,
me casually watching
softcore porn. Yes,
me casually watching it and taking notes, like on the notes app on my phone.
Did you think this movie was going to be as sexy as it was?
Did not. Like there is a lot of sex, a lot of Diane Lane boob, huh?
Yeah, and okay, so I want to talk about my first thing watching this, and probably what still did make me uncomfortable at 12 and makes me uncomfortable here is this seems like. Almost non-consensual at a lot of points.
Yes, right? Like, this is very...
It's aggressive, is I think a calm word to put it in.
They truly do not make movies like this anymore, for better or worse.
For better.
I mean, I agree, but I know there's probably people who are, like, nostalgic about this. But, like, for that... You know, it's a male director, right?
Yes.
And a lot of it does feel like wishy-washy when it comes
But the audience is women.
For sure. But it's very, again, no, yes, no.
There's no check-ins. There's no nothing. It's just like a lot of like, this is going to happen. And she's like, no, okay.
Are you familiar with this director at all, Adrian Lin?
No, what else did Adrian Lin do?
Ooh, he loves doing this kind of stuff.
Like almost smut, but in film?
Yes.
Okay.
He did a film called Foxes from 1980 that I actually just bought the soundtrack. It's a high school film, like a teen film, but like sort of like a sexy teen film. He actually did Flashdance.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Makes sense.
My mom loves Flashdance. That might have been why we saw this, but I don't think she would have ever like suck out a director. You know what I mean? Seeked out a writer director.
Top Pittsburgh movie, too.
Flash yep, Dance. Exactly.
But then I don't know if you're familiar with 9 1/2 Weeks.
No,
that's Kim Basinger, Mickey Rourke, a lot of sex. Maybe we'll cover it on this show or maybe on a Too Fast, Too Forever After Dark. But That one is like aggressive. Like that couldn't be made again today. Like you should look it up because it's insane.
Okay.
Fatal Attraction, he did.
Yes, excellent movie though. Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder, which I know is an often mocked movie I haven't seen.
We watched it. No, you and I watched it together with John for how did it like what? Explain to me. What's this podcast called?
No. We saw Stigmata and
I did Jacob's Ladder with him, or he did Jacob's Ladder with us, I was on an episode of Jacob's Ladder with him.
You weren't on with me.
Okay, so it was like right at the same, it was like very, very similar timing. So I assumed that the Stigmata episode was the one that we did. I mean, sorry, I assumed that, what did you just say?
Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder was the one that we had done together, but I had done this one with him.
Yeah, hard to believe. Okay, so you did Jacob's Ladder there, so you know
yes,
that movie.
Yes, I do.
And then Indecent Proposal, not sure if you know that one, but that's another sexy wrong movie like this. Like, just look at the posters for all these movies. They're all the same. They're all like naked people kissing. And then he did a 1997 adaptation of Lolita. So all you need to know about that.
He's just like the horniest director ever.
Pretty much, right? So okay. I didn't know that he directed this film. I knew the name. I knew he directed a bunch of the stuff. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. And he's a French director, so also that makes a little bit more sense.
Agreed. Yeah, there's a lot of smoking in this movie too.
A lot of smoking, that's for sure. The Olivier Martinez plays Paul Martel, and he is a Frenchman, and he is the unfaithfully, I don't know what we want to call him, like the affair man, I don't know.
The mistress,
yeah, the mister. So originally when this movie was concepted, first it was concepted like that he be an American. You know, once the French director signed on, he made him French.
Of course.
But the other thing that was concepted here, which I found very odd, like Diane Lane and him are supposed to be like very different in age. He was supposed to be like a young...
They're the exact same age.
And in real life, too. They're like a year apart.
Okay, yeah.
But
he's supposed to be like 20 and she's like 40.
Yeah, like a mom, yeah.
It's like what they're like trying to do. Okay.
But that did not come across. And there's one...
Not at all. Not. I've never heard that before in all of... or thought that in all of my viewings of this movie.
There's one line that like confirms that this was indeed the case. Richard Gere, when he shows up at his apartment... He's like, wow. Yes. He's like, you're young. He says something along those lines when he sees him.
Well, Richard Gere, also her age, also his age, looks like he's 60. But he also hit 60 and then stopped.
It's true. That's why that line, though, checks out, right? You don't think otherwise.
Kind of works, yeah. I thought that he said, like, yeah, if he says, like, oh, you look so young or whatever, he's just like, I look so old, is what I read that as.
Yeah, that was a weird little thing I learned about the film. The other interesting thing before, you know, we talk some of the fun stuff here is because of how his previous films, like Fatal Attraction, were received, he shot, I think, 7 different endings.
To this movie?
To this movie.
I've never seen a different ending to this movie.
I don't have the DVD, but the DVD apparently has a lot of extra scenes, including at least 1 or 2 of those endings. Basically, let me see what movie it was. Like, there was a movie he did, one of those, like, it was 9.5
weeks.
So,
like, weeks. What are the, so it's not, they can't, like, change the, like, murder with the snow globe, right? It's just, like, different, because when you shoot different endings, you don't shoot, like, different 30% of the movie.
No, and actually, what's funny is he shot all those endings and then called the actors back to shoot the ending that we got.
Okay, so he did all of them and then came back and was like, yeah, just do this one. Okay.
So, from what I gather, because of, again, I think it was 9.5 weeks or Fatal Attraction, the original ending was received really poorly when it tested, and they had to spend a lot of money shooting this ending that people actually liked. And he really wanted to feel it out, right? Like, this is a movie where you can go a lot of ways. Then, for example, in the original script, I believe Diane Lane was very much the bad person, right? Like, she just wasn't someone who met, like, a hot guy.
How is
sort
she
of
not
the
bad
this.
Person?
No, she was worse in this. Like Richard Gere is like the devoted father, and she just like wants to fuck.
How is that any different than this version?
I mean, look, but that's how you see it, right? So maybe some woman watches it and is like, well, she wanted her freedom. But regardless, there's a version where Richard Gere is like, don't want to say forces her into cheating, but he's like an alcoholic husband, right?
And oh, so, okay.
So like they the script originally played with levels of who do we want to be the bad guy, who do we want to be the good guy, right? This version, and I know she comes off pretty bad, especially when she's a bad mother. Like that's like a trope, like in film, like when we see bad mom, and I'm not saying it's right, but when
especially
we see bad mom,
especially in a movie geared towards a woman audience, like being a shitty mom about stuff is like, oh.
100%. And we have that one woman character who's like a friend of hers who like had an affair and she like
regrets it.
Is the voice of, yeah, the big regret, right? And that's a lot of, that's a surrogate for probably a lot of people in the audience. Like, oh, it's not as much as it's cracked up to be. Someone's eventually going to find out.
There's an end to this again, at some point. Yeah.
Which all makes sense. But I believe the different endings were played on like how people were going to feel at the end of this. Did they want them to be together? You know, I could imagine an ending where she goes to the police. I know the one ending on the DVD from what I read here is he actually goes to the police and turns himself in.
Oh, so she gets neither.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he murdered her boyfriend, so she doesn't get the boyfriend, the mister, and she doesn't get her husband either. Wow. By the way, Brian, I mean, I know we've talked about this a lot before, but, and I mean, don't use your normal answer, feed them to the sharks. How would you dispose of this body?
Oh, that was a question I was going to ask of you as well.
Okay, because I think that this is nearly a perfect crime. Like, this could almost be a perfect murder until he starts, like, cleaning up.
The cleanup is not good.
The first thing he needed to do was, like, bonk him with the snow globe, pick up the phone, and be like, I'm distraught. I ran into my wife's mister, and fueled with passion, he approached me aggressively, and I had this snow globe that had triggered me because I had given it to my wife. And I just bonked him once with it, and now he's dead.
There's no way, like, that's
you're, it's perfect. Right. It's a perfect crime.
Like, there's no way Richard Gere would get blamed for that, right? There's no way, because he comes in, he doesn't have a weapon.
No, he
right?
doesn't. It's not premeditated. A that's a different thing. Exactly. He could just be like, look, like, I just wanted to see, I wanted to hear the truth. I had this private investigator, so I just wanted to confront this guy and just ask him if this was true. And then, yeah. He doesn't show up with a weapon, nothing, right? I think he gets away with this 99% of the time.
I can't believe we're playing this game again, but let's pretend that that's not an option for some reason, right? You know you can't clean up that scene either, because if you start cleaning up...
Or take the body out in a rug.
The dude lives...
Once you start cleaning up, you admit guilt. That's the whole problem. 100%,
right? This is Soho 2002. This is not Soho 2024. It's not a hip neighborhood. It's getting there, right? But look, he lives in an artist loft. He's from another country, right? I guess he has family and friends. They say that, but
he has a wife that is looking for him.
Which, yeah, that's interesting.
But it's just like a weird tidbit at the end. You're like, okay, cool.
As crazy as it is, he could have probably just walked out of there. Like
that's I agree 100%. I think that that's a point too. Like, minus they eventually find her phone number and the snow globe, whatever. But there's, again, how many of these snow globes do they make, right? Whatever. Driving the body like to the dump in your town is the last thing I would have done. That's like the worst possible situation to have.
Okay, and this is, please, police, do not think we're bad people for just going over these things. But what's his job, Joe?
I think that he runs an auto body shop, it seems like, in the middle of Manhattan.
Like, but he's like a little bit corporate too, so I'm not sure.
Because at the beginning of the movie, he's clearly like in like a Mad Men style office.
Yeah.
And then when he fires that guy, he's in clearly a machine shop.
So I kind of assumed he was at the corporate level of like one of these companies that makes heavy machinery.
In the middle of Manhattan?
Who knows, right? Clearly, though, he has access to heavy machinery. He can't dispose of the body that way.
I don't know, man. Just chuck him off the side of the Tap and Z, dude.
Or that.
He's going to drive right by it anyways.
Oh, man. Regardless, yes.
But you're right. I think that the main point is that a foreign drifter living in not his own apartment that runs away with strange women that he meets on the street for long periods of time could easily be forgotten about and missed. And he also seems like he could have like went like, oh, I got a whim and like went to a book fair in California. Or so, you know, who knows?
I was surprised that the cops came that fast, right? I would think it'd be months or something.
100%.
Quick things in my notes. Oh, just wanted to bring up certain cast people because I was like, huh? The kid is like, not Frankie Muniz, but he's from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, I recognize them, yeah.
And that threw me off at times because like when he would like look at the camera, I thought it was like going to be a comedy moment. This is very much not a comedy.
It's absolutely not. And who is the private investigator?
Oh, yeah. Uncle Junior. I was happy to see him.
I was very happy to see him. I thought it was him and they like don't really show you his face for a minute. And then I heard his voice and I was like, oh, it's Uncle June.
That was awesome. Also a Godfather veteran. Probably not. But did you recognize the guy he fires, Richard Gere fires?
He looked familiar, but no, I can't put my...
He is Chad Lowe, the brother of Rob Lowe.
Really? I didn't know Rob Lowe had a brother.
Yeah, Chad Lowe, I think, got famous because Hilary Swank was married to him, and she forgot to thank him in her Oscar speech one year, and it was a big deal. And then they got divorced, so...
Oh, yeah. How did Chad Lowe know that, like, Richard Gere's wife was cheating on him? When nobody else seemed to know.
The guy was kissing her at the when he saw her.
He saw her at one point and like.
Oh, you didn't catch that? Joe, how many times have you seen
this movie? A bunch,
but
like not recently. I've seen it like once every 2 years for like since I was 12, essentially.
So that cafe they go to, which again.
Yes, yes, yes.
Look, this is not a podcast for how to get away with murder, nor is it a podcast of how to cheat on your spouse. But I will say. Dum-dums. Look, Diane Lane, if you want to do
don't
this...
Don't hang around your husband's business, you dumbass.
Stay in the
like,
apartment.
Like, they're, like, next door. Yeah, stay in the apartment or, like, go to a different part of town where at least it's, like, more reasonable that you're not going to run into... She runs into so many people she knows at this guy's apartment.
It is ridiculous.
I get that she's like a debutante. Like, she, like, you know, is in charity and, like, has a child and, like, her friends are rich and, like, they all love the city. But even still, Brian, how many people on a normal day do you run into that you know in the middle of Manhattan?
Zero. So it's insane.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so there's a scene where, like, he's, like, they're, like, necking in the cafe. And then, like, Chad Lowe and some other dude are just, like, sitting. And then you notice it because he... As he's walking out, he gives a look like, do I know that
lady?
Was
that the pay the check? Who's going to pay the check situation?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
He was one of the pay the check guys.
Oh, okay.
The not black one,
I didn't
obviously.
Catch that he was the same guy. Yeah. I didn't catch that he was the same guy. And also, why would she not be like, let's get the fuck out of here? Like, I know. Does she not know anybody that her husband works with?
I mean, maybe.
She was
not.
Just at the office like 3 times in a row the week before.
This is why, like, maybe she wanted to get caught.
Yeah, I think the thrill of it was part of it for her.
I would be scared shitless if I were her. Anyone in a suit, I'd be scared shitless about, right? Like,
yes.
Does this guy work with my husband? And another interesting observation from, like, the Grand Central Station thing. And, you know, I commute through there every day. Maybe one person in the train car has a suit. Two.
Nowadays, yeah.
Nowadays, right? Like, post-pandemic, if you will. Or post-shutdown. Yeah. It's just like that shot where they're all walking out and 90% of the people are wearing suits. It was like that was like such an image.
That and those bank of payphones that aren't there anymore. I was like, whoa, I haven't thought about a bank of payphones in forever.
That's another thing too, right? Like anything cheating wise in 2024, you're probably getting caught from your phone or something, right? Like
immediately. I have a better question though. Just like a more philosophical question. Brian, you know that as much as we spend time on the beach doing nothing, who has enough time to have a relationship like this? Do you have enough hours in your day to do this?
No, absolutely not.
Like emotional bandwidth to do this? She has a child. I mean, granted, I get she's like a housewife, but like literally how much time do you have a day that you could just do this?
You made a really good point, right? Like, first, yes, she is a housewife. I do like there's nods that she clearly had a job once. She, you know, maybe she knew stocks at one point, even though like he mocks her for like not knowing a stock price at the beginning or whatever.
Yeah.
So she does have a lot of free time for that kind of stuff. But to take all these trips into the city, like that's a lot of time. But The emotional bandwidth part, it's not easy. It's not easy. That's why I was surprised. I know they did it a lot, but I was surprised that the cop, or was it the cop? Whoever was like, oh, she was, oh, it was the private investigator. Like, she comes every day at lunch. I'm like, that's a lot.
A lot of trips.
That's a lot of trips, right? That's a lot of, not just emotionally and just physically. It's a full-time job to bang this guy at lunch, essentially.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Like, again, we know affairs happen. It's a real thing in real life. I'm not trying to play holier than thou, and these things happen, but like, to this level is
That's what I'm
woo!
saying. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. I just don't have enough. I would get like it's just too much. Too much work. It feels like a job. Like you said, it feels like a job. It would be a job, and then it just was like, okay, well, I already have one of these, so both wife and job.
I was just
So
gonna say
like, I don't need
you're
either of these.
referring to that, yeah. And the older you get, again, maybe there's a midlife crisis out there. Who knows? But the older that you get, too, the less, not even just an affair, the less people I want to deal with emotionally.
100%. Like that, and like the idea of like, I'm sure you have this thought often, even with Nicole for a while. Do you ever just like see somebody and you're like, I couldn't even begin to date anyone else just because like I don't want to have to spend that time doing this, like learning like what you don't like to eat.
Yeah.
Like the most gentle, simple shit. I'm just like, nope, I my brain's already full of that. I already got it. Like, I don't need any more list of like things you like and dislike, like, or movies you've seen. Like, I can't keep it all straight. Just leave me alone. I can't do it.
That's why I feel like these things are more likely to happen among, as weird as it is, like friends and like
100%. Yes.
co-workers, right? That's a big one, right?
Coworkers. Yeah, sure. If he's like, if he was like in the office and then there's like, you know, sleazier receptionist or something like that, and he's upset with Diane Lane, but he's always at the office. Then, like, you know, she's distant. She's like, no, she's getting on the train every day to go spend 2 hours to bang this French guy and listen to him read books to her.
And I guess if that's what you like, if you really want to get to know a new person, that's what you would do. But I think most people are in the boats that we're talking about. We're not that, again, not that we want to do
Boats,
this,
the boats.
but you don't want to really build that foundation with anyone as fucked up as it is. But that's what she wanted here. She just wanted like a fresh start. Like, he's a hunky Frenchman. I get it to an extent.
I don't think that he's that good looking. That's another thing. This needed to be Rob Lowe. We should have gotten rid of Chad Lowe, got Rob Lowe, and let Rob Lowe be the love interest. And I've been like, I can see it. I can get it. You know, give her somebody that's kind of unattainable. But like when you see like a bunch of we've had this happen in movies before, but when movies have to tell you someone's very attractive, I'm like, okay. Cause like all the other ladies are like, this hunky guy. And I'm like, what?
But
Like, I think
okay,
Richard Gere's hunkier than he is,
100%. Like,
right?
I do
To our
not deny
taste.
that. And like, they're a very hot couple if you think about it, right? Like,
A
that.
hundred percent.
They're the hottest couple in Westchester County or wherever they live. Like, that is a hot couple. Look, I tend to agree with what you're saying. The only counter argument I would make is if like they're not supposed to be playing Richard Gere and Diane Lane, if they're just like regular suburban couple.
They're like doppelgangers that kind of look like them.
Yeah,
The Wish off-brand of Diane Lane and Richard Gere, and you'd be like, oh, I see it, but like that's not them.
this French guy though is like office hot. Like work hot, like as an actor.
Did you ever see the show Corporate? Did you ever watch this show?
No, I didn't.
It was really good. It's a dark office comedy, and one of the things they talk about is like they have a window like out, like their office is like glass or something, right? So you can see through it, and there's like a girl that sits there, and he's like, I'm in love with her. And he's like, no, you have a proximity crush. Like you just, she's the girl that you like just look at. You look at one girl and it's her. So like, of course you're gonna eventually find her attractive. Yes, I agree. If he was sitting there staring at you all day through a glass thing, you'd be like, oh, he's cute. But
Yeah, like
like, not for Diane Lane to like find on the street and go home with. She looks great in this movie too, by the way.
I mean,
Endless Forever Babe
I was gonna
for
say, does
season
she
two.
ever not?
No. Wait, I have another qualm about this thing. So not only does he murder him and bonk him and get, he listens to the man's messages. Now you're fully guilty.
And he deleted the message too.
Yes, exactly.
Fingerprints.
Yeah, he wipes off the glass, leaves blood everywhere, mops it up, and then touches the answering machine. Come on, bud. What are you doing?
By the way, had you seen that cop before?
Oh,
The
no, I don't
detective?
remember. Who is it?
I can't pronounce his name. Zeliko Ivaniak.
Okay.
He's I believe, a Croatian actor, but the dude's been in a lot of stuff. I think recently he was in or is in like one of the Walking Dead spinoffs as like the main bad guy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, there's 75 of the Walking Dead spinoffs,
Yeah,
so.
well, that's why I don't know which one it is. But he was
Yeah.
in Three Billboards. He was in the Bourne movies, I believe.
Ah, okay.
Black Hawk Down, a bunch of stuff. So he's a really good actor. Random sort of to see him here.
Brian, for your birthday, did you ever ask for a Latrell Sprewell jersey?
I'm sure I did. That was another thing I had in my notes. I love that little Knicks connection here. I loved Latrell Sprewell going up. I know he beat up his
Did
coach,
you?
but yeah, of course, but he wasn't, I mean, he didn't beat up a Knicks coach, so I didn't care.
Wait, he beat up his coach at one point? I know nothing about this. This is the first time I've ever heard this name before. I didn't grow up with basketball in Pittsburgh. We didn't have a basketball team, so like I wasn't watching basketball. So please explain Latrell Sprewell to me. Because it's not like a star name. You know, if he's a fan of the Knicks, he's not like,
Well,
oh, I'm
I mean,
gonna.
he was a huge star with the Knicks,
Really?
and he was a really good player with the Warriors. I think he made all NBA, either first team or second team, right? Young, and then his coach, PJ Carlesimo, former Seton Hall coach, they got into an argument, and he kicked Latrell Sprewell out of practice, and Sprewell came back and choked him, and he was banned for a year,
Oh shit, that's insane.
and when he came back, the Knicks. I mean, they weren't going to like let him back on the Warriors, obviously.
They were like a
When,
rehabilitation project.
yeah, basically they traded John Starks and a couple other players, and was it Starks? I think so. And they got him, and he had a great couple years in New York. Like they went to the finals with him. He was one of
Oh,
the
very
stars of the
cool.
team.
Okay.
But the other famous thing I would say in sports lore that he had eventually, like later in his career, he was still good, but he played for the Timberwolves. And they offered him an extension that was like a ridiculous amount of money, but he thought he was worth like twice as more. And when people talk about like athlete versus owner things and they want to side with the owner, they'll often quote him because I believe he said something along the lines of, I can't take this deal. I have to feed my family. And it was like one of these like
Ah.
multi-million-dollar deals. And he never played again after that. He just said no rather than take the
Oh, so
deal.
he was waiting for a bigger contract and they just, then nobody else gave him one? He just
And no
got
one else gave him
blacklisted? Okay.
because of pride. He just didn't play again. So yeah, that's the Latrell Sprewell thing. But as a Nick, great Nick, for sure. Thank you for the
Awesome.
Sprewell shout out. I really like that. I mean, so we'll go to our weekly questions here, but was there anything else you want to mention about Unfaithful?
No, I got out everything that I wanted to say. The whole transpirings from the bonking to the end is great though. The trunk getting backed into keeping the body in the trunk as he's at the recital. Oh, that's a question. Brian, as a new father, just because I often see this with my friends that are unfortunate enough to have children, I see that like schools have expanded. So like these things I think are very self-serving for parents, right? Like they share them as cultural enrichment for children, but really like a recital is just for you to take pictures of your child in a costume, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's self-serving for the parents. This has nothing to do with the children.
How many roles are in this freaking play?
Like 100 every child, right? Every child has to have some solo bullshits, right? So you're gonna have to do this. And what else I've noticed is that there's even more of these nowadays. There's not just the spring recital. It's like the spring recital and the daddy-daughter homecoming dance. And dude, there's so many of these fucking things that I see everywhere that my friends are doing with their kids. How excited are you to have not only a full-time affair, but a full-time job taking care of your child? And then having to do their full-time job after school.
Which is another reason why you should not have an affair, right? Don't
Yeah.
overschedule yourself. But it's very interesting that you mentioned that, Joe. Like, one of the biggest issues with kids today, I think, is overscheduling, and that's like a fact, right? Like, they don't have any.
100%. There's no longer the days of us dicking off playing WWF versus NWO on X or on N64 for like an entire summer, right?
Oh no, definitely not, right? Like, you don't see kids riding bikes anymore. They're not playing outside anymore. And I think that's changing because we're having a little bit more awareness of that now. But there was certainly like a generation of parents who, I have a friend who's a personal trainer, and actually in Westchester County, and he works a lot with a lot of teenagers. And he says like he's appointment 3 of 5 sometimes for these kids after school in terms of like practices and recitals and
And math club and whatever, whatever. That's insane, dude.
And he's like it's the worst. Like, these kids' brains are so fried. So hopefully I don't become that kind of parent, but you never know. Keeping Up with the Joneses, this is very
A
much a
hundred
Keeping Up with
percent,
the
dude.
Joneses movie.
100% is. Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm curious to watch all my childhood friends partake down this adventure and drink and watch their social media as I do whatever I want at all times.
I mean, those are the perks, aren't they? All
They are.
right, let's get to
Weekly questions.
our weekly questions. Yes. This is a weird one today. That's why I'm giggling. Did you like the main couple? Did you think that they were meant to be together? Before you answer that, I do want to talk about this ending, because we talked about all the other
Possible endings,
possible
yeah.
endings, but this one ends basically, Diane Lane finds out Richard Gere did do that murder. She's conflicted. There's this weird, like, I felt like it was a 5 or 6 minute flashback of things that happened in the movie with the affair that I was like, I just saw this.
Yeah, they kind of relive the affair. Yeah, it's very strange, but yeah.
Diane Lane got nominated for the Oscar, as I mentioned, and she is great, but nothing else got nominated for the Oscar here. And like, again, the film isn't perfect. I don't think we needed all of that reminiscing. But then she sort of, Richard Gere sort of is like, I'll turn myself in. I don't know how serious he is about that. They sort of have talks, but eventually it leads to just like, hey, let's move to, is it Hawaii? But I thought it was fun because they're like, we're just going to live on the beach. People do that, right?
Yeah. I actually think that they're a really good couple. I think that she together, because like she seems happy with Richard Gere and he seems to be caring, providing, and taking care of her both financially and emotionally. Like he seems like he cares about, he brings her back snow, he gets her snow globes from places, and like he's excited to see her when she comes to visit him at work and like is curious about what she's doing all day and like not in like a keeping tabs on her way. He's like, what were you up to today? And like, how's the fundraising going? And like involved in his child's life and her life. And then she just has to, take the train to bang the French guy. So what do you think about them as a couple?
I actually, again, I'm with you. I like them as a couple, and with this dude shooting all these endings and reshooting this one, I think he chose the right one, because I wouldn't want to see one of them die or Richard Gere turn himself in, right? Like, sort of like, hey, this shit happened. Let's hope it goes away. We're gonna go to a beach and figure it out. And if she does that, she's his accomplice at this point. So they're Bonnie and Clyde, they're in it together.
Exactly. I think their bond will grow stronger. I don't like how it had to get there, but like, yeah.
And this does happen, not the murder part, but this does happen a lot, right? Yes, there are couples who something like this happens and they get divorced. But sometimes it's just like, I know some personally, right? Where it's
It's like a hard reset. It's like a something.
exactly.
You know what
That's
I
the best way
mean?
to
That
put it. That's the
like
best way to put it.
they're like, okay, like, shit was going bad, but then they have some kind of they can kind of trauma bond together over it, and then they're like, okay, cool, now we're good now.
So it leads to not our usual question, but my next question for you. Do you think if they move to this beach somewhere that like they're never going to think about this again, or is it going to be something that like haunts them?
I think that they'll individually think about it a lot and they'll never speak about it again.
I think that's a fair assessment, right? Like, you just never bring this up again. You know why you moved there, but now you're just raising your kid.
Once you're there, you're like, look, we leave all that in New York. Like when you shut the front door of your house that you're leaving, you're like, this stays here. Like the murder, the affair, everything. We go to the beach, we start over, happy, loving couple. Let's go there. And that's what happens.
Isn't it weird, though, that that feels like earned and okay, even though someone committed a murder here and
It's
got away
kind of
with it?
romantic. It's totally fine. That's why I like this movie. It's weird, right?
It is weird in that way. Like, you know, usually the person who does something bad gets their comeuppance. They both did things bad here and they just live happily ever after. But it's, again, and as a viewer, I'm okay with it. I actually
I'm
kind of like
totally
it.
fine with it. Yeah, that's, I think that's the best ending. I'm with you.
I don't know why, but it's so true. All right, so A to F scale and all these things, just to, you know, let the other bros know what kind.
High to low tide.
Fine, high to low tide, but I have to give it the grade score because I really do want to contribute to the bros knowing these films. But high tide being an A, low tide being an F, make up some tides in between. How would you rate the romance in this film?
It is a higher tide, but not full moon. Okay. This is a really good movie. Diane Lane looks great. If you're a bro, you can get behind that. If you're a Frenchman, you can get behind being the mister. I mean, there's something for everyone here. Maybe it's a little aggressive sexually for my liking. Consent would have helped it. Maybe that would have pushed it over to the A plus range. Highest tides. But I give it a higher tide. What about you, sir?
Well, the scene that really, again, I didn't like sexually was the hallway one, right? Where she
the
goes
hallway
to break
one
up
feels
like,
so rapey, doesn't it?
That's like there's icky factor here, a lot of it, but that's the one where it's like maximum icky factor to the point where when Richard Gere murders him, I don't feel bad for him.
No, same. I'm like, he had to come. And also, he, like, at one point we see him with another woman.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this guy has it coming to him. And then you find out he had a wife at the end. You're like, oh, he was just a sleazeball. And like, somebody was going to murder this guy.
100%. That's why it's weird that she has the reminiscing dream about him towards the end. Like, but again, it is what it is. So what would you say that what's medium or medium high tide B? Is that a B?
Higher tide is a B. Yeah.
Okay. So did you feel like we had some strong leads here? Specifically, remember, we asked this question, you know, a lot of the movies we cover are women-centric movies. Strong, strong lead here is Diane Lane.
Strong lead. She's independent. She gets what she wants. She's in charge of fundraising. Like, although she's a housewife, that takes a little bit back from it. But she seems like she's doing whatever she likes. So
high tide? Highest tide?
Highest tide on independence, for sure. I would say, yeah, higher tide, but for sure.
All right, picturesque setting. Where are we getting the tide there, right? Like under the Tuscan sun, right? Like, that got the A, if you remember. That got
highest tide. This is day at the beach, medium.
See.
Yeah, I think so.
It's New York, and I know we live near New York. It's not the most exotic city to us now, but it is an exotic city to other people who haven't been to it. But I don't think we get exotic.
I was accounting their house, well, and the proximity to the water. Like, That's okay, but it's not like a beach like when we imagine. It's not Hawaii. They reminisce about Hawaii when they
exactly
think about the
right
beach,
exactly
right.
So here we get like Soho. I guess that like if you like the bohemian chic look, sure. We get the city, but it's not the romantic city. It's not like the
no. It's a grittier,
yeah,
darker, kind of dirty version of the city.
And then, like you said, the suburbs there. They're nice suburbs, so that's why this isn't a D or an F or anything. But
yeah.
But yeah, like so I think a solid C, medium tide, if you will, or medium, whatever.
Day at the beach.
Personal growth / self-discovery. Where would you rank this film and the characters here? Did you see some personal growth and self-discovery?
I did. It wasn't the greatest iteration. Like, by definition, yes, we saw personal growth and self-discovery. But what was it? What we like to think about when we see people grow and discover? Probably not. So, day at the beach for
see,
sure.
This isn't a grading question. This is just a simple this or that question. Was this more comedy or tragedy?
Well, I find a lot of comedy in this film. But I don't think anybody else would agree with me.
No.
So I think that I firmly have to vote it a tragedy, although I find it hysterical and comedic for multiple reasons that I've expressed when we talked about it.
Fair enough. So, bro, if your bro was chilling at his beach house and he told you that he was watching Unfaithful on a Friday, What movie would you recommend he watch on Saturday? And what movie would you recommend he watch on Sunday to keep up those beach vibes?
I don't know if I'm not, okay. If you just taught me that the director did Fatal Attraction, I think Fatal Attraction has to go in this lineup now, right?
I would think so, yeah, for sure.
Fatal Attraction, and then I don't know. I would look up a good Lifetime movie with another bonk, with an interesting weapon though. Like it would have to be a bonk with like something interesting. Oh, I mean, I don't. I'm not trying to go with like the most on the nose other Diane Lane type movie situations. No, you know what? Do that. Actually, that. Give me Diane Lane and Jack with Robin Williams to cut in a comp. That's your Saturday movie.
Nice.
That's my two picker for this.
I like it. So, we watch Unfaithful at the beach house. Then we have Jack on Saturday, to get us through.
Yes.
Again, Coppola Film. Check out my other podcast, Uncle Francis Wine Cellar. And then, of course, we have Fatal Attraction. It's a nice weekend for you. I like it. I like it.
I think it's a great weekend, and you get a nice. You get you, hey, you know what? I think that the vibe of that is a perfect wave.
So you want to know something funny? I was just on Megaphone, which is our podcast deployment website, and you mentioned Lifetime movies. I haven't released a High School Slumber Party episode in a while, with the baby. It's been a lot. I have some episodes loaded up, but I was looking at what episodes people have just been randomly listening to. And one of the most popular episodes, like so far this year, is an episode Rachel was on, I believe, right? Fab Five, the Texas cheerleader scandal,
Oh yeah.
which was a
I'll
life.
let her know. Yeah,
Let
that's
her know.
awesome.
But like it was a sort of a random Lifetime movie we did during our cheerleading thing a couple years ago. I'm sure there's head bonks in that. I can't remember. And I Googled it the other day, and it's because like Entertainment Weekly released like their favorite cheerleader movies of all time, and they gave it a shout out, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, great. So you can let Rachel know your wonderful wife that she is popular again on High School Slumber Party for Fab Five, the Texas cheerleader scandal.
As long as she doesn't leave me for the French guy that collects books.
Would that bother you?
Yeah.
Don't think so.
Only because it's like this. So this is the other side of that. I'm like, if Diane Lane just like met this guy, she scraped her knee, she went upstairs, she hooked up with him once, and then came home and just like dealt with like her internal conflict and didn't take the train an hour every day round trip at least to like go into the city and like have a full relationship with them, then like you can like let it. I won't murder him with a snow globe, right?
That's what bothered me the most about the affair, right?
It was so intimate. Like,
Like he gave her a gift that.
yes, that's like the most disrespectful thing. Like he re-gifted a she re-gifted a gift from her husband to her mister. Like that's flagrant.
That's flagrant. He complained about her to him. That would piss me off, right? Like that kind of stuff would like, oh, also like, and he expresses it really well too. I know we're getting back into the movie, but you hit something really interesting, right? Like he gets pissed when he finds out like you've talked about me, right? Because like there's almost something forgivable about the guy if he had no idea, like he didn't know that she was
I don't
married with
even
a
care if
kid.
like not even like excusing any part of this, but if she was like, I'm married and have a kid and like that's it.
No, but it wasn't just that though. Like it was like
Exactly.
complaints and stuff, and like, oh, I wish I never moved to where I moved. And he's like, that was your idea.
She fucking, yeah, exactly. Same.
But
Like if you wanted to be in the city, like you should have just said stay in the city. What the fuck is, okay, never mind.
so, bro, maybe we have a different perspective on this. Maybe other people would think differently, But this is the Coastal Grand Bro perspective, right? We side with Richard Gere when we watch this film.
I do side with Richard Gere when I watch this film. As much as I love Diane Lane, I think that she's mostly at fault here. She also like initiates. Like she sees this guy, he gives her her card. She can like go away. I even said to Rachel as we're watching this, like she could have like started buying rare books and like met him at a coffee shop. But he's like, come to my house, and she's like, okay, immediate, like off the rip. And
Yeah,
it's like.
and the first couple times they don't necessarily do anything, but like she's just getting more and more comfortable. Like he wants to, she wants to, but I think the third time is
She
the
could have
time.
even had like a creepy, like flirty relationship with him, buying rare books and like meeting him for coffee once a week, and just like had like this like non-physical weird relationship. It's like the culmination of both that I'm like, this feels really gross. You know? That's just my total perspective.
I gotta say, Joe, my first time watching, I liked the movie. Like it definitely has
Good.
rewatchability. So thank you for bringing it to our little fun adventure here on Coastal Ground Bros. Look,
It's something you could bring up to somebody else too, right? This is a movie that you'd be like, yeah, it reminds you of like fucking Unfaithful. And somebody would be like, God damn, the movie with the snow globe bonk? And you're like, yeah, dude.
oh man, well I gotta refill my drink. It's about that time.
Oh, same.
Anything you want to plug, Joe?
Yeah, check out Joey and I started a new podcast. Go check it out. I'll let you guys figure it out, but we started a new podcast. We're gonna be doing that weekly alongside Too Fast, Too Forever. So just, you know, all the places you'd normally find our podcast. I don't want to spoil it. I don't know who's releasing what episode first or what you're listening to first. So just go check it out over there.
Nice. I love the mystery. Sounds fascinating. So we'll wait for that one here. Please check out some of my other shows, High School Slumber Party, as I mentioned, Uncle Francis's Wine Cellar, as I mentioned, Third Time's a Charm, Second Time Around, First Things
Yeah.
First. Definitely check out my bicycle podcast, The Movie Cycle Diaries. We are pretty heavy into that one. I think, what are we doing? We just did The Bicycle Thief. That's a really good one.
Rad.
Rad. Yeah, that's a great episode. Check that out as well. And there's rumors out there that Foodie Films will be returning. So definitely wait for that one. Of course, Foodie Films is Kyle Reinfried's dream project. We're
Foodie Films is on permanent Coastal Grambro time.
That is 100% true. Thank you again for
Supporting us,
yes.
writing in. Thank you, Dennis, for the email.
And stay tuned because we might be debuting a Patreon soon for this. The support has been amazing. So we want ways to enhance your listener experience. We want ways to thank you further for being bros with us. And hey, if you want to support us with the Patreon thing, I mean, we've heard so much. Well, Brian, how can we give you money? How can we give Joe money? That might be the way to do it. So stay tuned for
We
that.
might, we also, can I say it?
You can say it.
We also might have a beach house rental trip in the works. Just saying, just saying. So if you want early access to tickets to the beach house, join the Patreon.
That is going to be insane. Look, I mean,
We could just watch Unfaithful on loop together.
make some really, really good tiki drinks and just have a ball. Just bros. Remember,
Just bros.
bro is not a gendered term. You can be a lady bro. So,
You could be any bro. Yeah,
yeah,
bros is bros.
just to be clear, guys. All right. So, if that's it, then Joe, stay coastal.
See you on the beach.